This is a sermon given at St. David's Episcopal Church in Austin, Texas. Visit our website at saintdave.org.
So all around the world today, churches are observing what's known as Trinity Sunday, a day dedicated to remembering and celebrating the doctrine of the Trinity that states the church's belief in one God who is made known to us in three persons, God the Father, Jesus the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Now, I think it's sort of a strange thing to call particular attention to a church doctrine rather than, say, an event in the life of a church like Pentecost, which we did last week, or a saint like we do from time to time throughout the year. What, I wonder, is the point of remembering and celebrating a theological statement that was constructed many, many centuries ago? I mean, it's not as if we're likely to forget about the Trinity. Our weekly service is filled with language that affirms our belief in one God who was made known to us in three persons. The priest starts the service with Blessed be God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, or some version of that statement. We say or sing a song of praise where we give glory to the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. The confession and absolution after the confession use the language of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And the post-communion prayer makes reference to the presence of all three persons of the Godhead. So why dedicate a special day? Maybe it's so we don't take it for granted, as is easy to do with something that's familiar. You know, like we do with that person that we know so well, with that relationship that's always there, with the job we show up to every day, and with that ritual that we constantly participate in. They become habitual, routine, mundane, dull even. And it gets easy to forget their significance, to take for granted how they shape our day, to dismiss how they make up the framework of our lives. Now, if this is true for all of those parts of our lives, why would it be any different with our concept of and relationship to God? It's hard enough to acknowledge and appreciate the flesh and bone that we can see and touch every day. So, of course, it's going to be even more difficult with what we can't see and touch every day. Now, to mitigate this with our flesh and bone experiences, we mark birthdays, observe anniversaries, give silly awards at work, change up the way we participate in rituals. Doing so helps us remember why these people, relationships, experiences, and rituals are in our lives in the first place, and hopefully, in some ways, revives our commitment to them. So maybe Trinity Sunday is the church's version of this. Like marking the birthday or observing the anniversary, it's a way in which we can acknowledge the very particular, very special, very distinct nature of the God we claim, so that we can know, worship, and love this God better. Of course, we can do this on other days and in other ways. I sincerely hope that more Sundays than not, you leave here feeling like you know, worship, and love God better. But today, we make sure to do it in spades, in a way that we won't do it on other days. So, now just what is the particular, special, distinct nature of God that the doctrine of the Trinity attempts to name? And, perhaps even more importantly, why, in 2019, should we care? Good questions. I won't pretend like I can answer them any more satisfactorily today than others who have gone before me. Much ink has been spilled over attempts at trying to capture the essence of the Trinity and why naming God in this exact way is so critical to understanding God's nature. So people talk about the Trinity as one God acting in multiple manners. Or, how's this for a statement? One God playing three distinct yet related roles in the great drama of human redemption. People often describe the Trinity as a swirling dance we can join in, a rushing whirlwind we can get caught up in, a pulsing life we can be immersed in, a multidimensional reality in whom we live and move and have our being. Now, these are all good descriptions. These are all accurate ways of understanding something that can't really be described or understood, this side of heaven. I've probably talked about the Christian God using most of these phrases. But at the end of the day, to me, the essence of the Trinity can be summed up in two things: presence and relationship. Presence and relationship. The three persons of the three-person God are in a relationship with each other, and through that relationship, they can be present to each other. Now, it's important to note what characterizes this relationship and this kind of being present, since, as we know, not all relationships are created equal. The kind of relationship makes all the difference. So we take note that the God-Jesus-Holy Spirit relationship is distinct in how it is healthy, generative, creative, and fruitful. So it's healthy in that it's not based on competition. There is space for all persons to be fully themselves. The Father is the Father, while the Son is the Son, while the Spirit is the Spirit. No one's trying to be someone they're not. It's generative in that it generates more than what it started with. It can sustain itself out of this generative energy because it keeps generating out of itself. So this means there's always enough for all parts of the entity. It's creative in that it makes things that are like itself, that have marks of its being, and yet are at the same time different from it. The created is reflected in the creation, but the creation is distinct in some way from that which created it. And it's fruitful in that this healthy, generative, creative energy works to constantly produce more and more presence and more relationship until all that presence and all that relationship spill over into the created world in the form of more presence and more relationship. So all of creation is the product of this healthy, generative, creative, fruitful way that the God in three persons relates to and is present with itself. As such, that healthy, generative, creative, fruitful pattern of living is in the creation's DNA. It's in our DNA. It is who we are at our very core. Now, of course, sometimes we forget this, and we act in ways that are contrary to this pattern. Sometimes we live in ways marked by competition, jealousy, cheap imitation, and lack of imagination. And so our relationships with and presence to each other then reflect these things, and as such are not healthy, generative, creative, and fruitful. I think we can easily see this in the larger world around us, and perhaps sometimes even in our own immediate lives. So the remedy to that competitive, jealous, fake, unimaginative way of living is to seek to imitate the God in three persons and replicate their pattern of healthy, generative, creative, fruitful presence and relationship. In doing so, that pattern manifests itself over and over and over and changes how we live with ourselves, with each other and with God. Now, I imagine this is what first drew me to Christianity, this notion of presence and relationship. As a child, I struggled to find this with the adults closest to me. I experienced their presence as distracted, compromised, and conflicted. My relationships with them were chaotic, unpredictable, and conditional. But there was something about church and Sunday school and later youth group that offered me the kind of presence and kind of relationship that I so desperately wanted, needed even. Of course, I didn't have an awareness of the finer points of Trinitarian theology when, as a child, I first realized that church was deeply satisfying in a way that nothing else was. But I now see that this God in three persons business was why. The way that God, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit were present to each other, the way they were in relationship with each other, gave me a glimpse of something different, something radical, something wonderful. And the ways that that kind of presence and that kind of relationship were offered to me by the church leaders and other participants, it made that something seem possible. Even for a girl like me, who never imagined such goodness could be mine. It expanded my definition of love. It broke open my concept of friendship. It transformed the way I understood human value. And it probably, literally saved my life. As the recipient of this goodness, then, I am now called to go and do likewise. I am now called to imitate over and over again this pattern of presence and relationship. I am more than called. I am compelled to imitate over and over again this pattern of presence and relationship. And sometimes this go and do likewise is as simple as checking in regularly with a friend whose father is very ill, just to make sure he knows he's not facing that struggle alone. Sometimes the go and do likewise is as logistically challenging as figuring out how to help a woman in Michigan get clothes to her homeless son here in Austin because she can't physically be here. Sometimes it's as light as singing gospel music in a bar at Beer and Hems with a church member who's hoping to make new friends. Each of these go and do likewise examples are directly connected to who I experience God to be as relationship and presence. So when I talk about being compelled to do these things, it's not about duty, but rather about being who I discovered myself to be truly. Back to that DNA business. I do what I do because of who I am, and I am who I am because of who God is. And so to me, Trinity Sunday is not some nod to a long ago decided, irrelevant to daily life doctrine, but rather a chance to explore the ridiculously amazing nature of the God we seek to know. This might be why I've never dreaded preaching on Trinity Sunday, except when my seminary preaching professor assigned it to me for my very first sermon. It's why I don't balk or feel pressure to explain something unexplainable or describe something indescribable. I just see it as a chance to talk about the God I know and love, in whose healthy, generative, creative, fruitful self I continue to find life abundant, way beyond anything I could have asked for or imagined, with the hope that it will help illuminate something about this God to anyone listening. I hope, too, that in sharing my understanding of who God is, it will convict me to more regularly manifest this God to all around me. And I hope it will encourage you to do the same. Amen.
You can find more lectures and sermons on iTunes by searching for St. David's Episcopal Church in Austin, Texas, or visit our website at saintdave.org and click on the podcast button.